Out program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The first evaporated milk, Bet Milk, presents Fibber McGee and Molly, transcribed with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, Dick LeGrand, Dick Ryan, and me, Hollow Wilcox. The show is written by Phil Leslie and Keith Fowler and directed by Max Hutto, with music by the King's Men and Billy Mills Orchestra. When friends get together in the evening, there always comes a time when the happiest thing you can say is, "How about a cup of coffee?" And take my word for it, that good coffee you make will taste extra good when you serve Pet evaporated milk with it. Pet milk is whole milk that's double rich, concentrated to double richness by evaporation. And it gives coffee such a good creamy color and fine mellow flavor. Once you use it, you'll probably be like so many others who would rather use Pet milk than cream in coffee. Most foods that give you extra pleasure cost extra, too, but not Pet milk. Just think of it. Pet milk costs less than half as much as ordinary coffee cream. So always have Pet evaporated milk on hand for coffee as well as for cooking. Get some at your grocer's tomorrow. The Wistful Vista Salon of Beauty is noted for two things: their hot shampoos and their hot gossip. Here's a lady just home from there with a double order of each as we join Fibber McGee and Molly.
What else I heard at the beauty shop, McGee?
No, I don't. And frankly, kiddo,
I really got the lowdown from Madam Bertha today.
Lowdown is right. There ain't any lowdown as the lowdown Madam Bertha dishes out, believe me. Her idea of a hot flash is the confidential information that old man McDonald, the president of the Third National Bank, wears button shoes. And don't think he don't.
Well, anyhow, Madam Bertha was telling me what happened to Mrs. Smiling Sam Rhodes. You know, the used car dealer's wife.
Oh, I wish you wouldn't listen to that silly gossip down there, Molly. It just makes you look...
This is not gossip, dearie. It's a fact.
How can an intelligent, level-headed guy like I am's wife sit in that beauty shop with her head in the dryer and her feet in the draft and soak up them silly rumors?
Well, I don't see how you can just say it's a
now,
silly...
Now, look, Cissy. It's time old Dad had a talk with you. You fell into a bad habit of letting everything you hear go in one ear and stay there. And that's dangerous.
Tell me more, Master.
All right, I'll give you an example. Right out of history. How about Christopher Columbus? He started the rumor that the world was round and got people to believe in it.
Of course he did. That's how he discovered America.
Sure, and look what that led to. Gin rummy, jitterbugs, and jam sessions. Flagpole sitters, Florida real estate, and flying saucers. Bankhead bebop and banana burgers. Hot rods, hitchhikers, and head of hoppers hats.
Yes, sir.
Political platforms, plastic plumbing, and plunging necklines. Smog, small loan companies, and on top of Old Smoky. I'm telling you, kiddo, once the rumor gets started...
Hold it, Professor. Come in. Hello, Mr. Mayor. Nice to see you.
Hello, Molly. McGee.
Hi, Liv. You're just in time to help us slice a small beef, boy. I'm trying to convince Molly that it's wrong to repeat a rumor.
And I say he's making a mountain out of a molehill.
What do you think about it, Homer?
I would say, without hesitation or devious meandering, that rumors are predominantly to be regarded as nefarious delusions engendered by irresponsible malefactors, and that to credit and foster such unverified reports is both culpable and hazardous.
Could you unscrew that and give it to me in sections?
I don't believe in rumors.
Oh, then you're with me.
Yes, McGee, for once I find myself on your side.
Good.
And it frightens me a bit.
Well, now, this was a very minor thing, and I simply...
Well, now, I'm sure you wouldn't repeat anything malicious, Molly. I merely feel that it's a mistake to accept unfounded hearsay.
Attaboy, Latriv. Guys like us don't go for them unfounded hearsays. Yes, sir. We're too smart to be took in by rumor mongrels.
McGee, A mongrel is a cur.
Exactly. We're too smart to let such a thing occur.
I wonder if it's too late to change sides.
I'll bet in your business the rumors come thicker than cold gravy.
Yes, I've had my share.
Yeah?
I recall one particularly obnoxious rumor that cropped up last election time.
Yeah?
My opposition started the vicious report that I planned, if reelected, to appoint my brother-in-law as city treasurer.
Oh, were you going on a trip?
And throw my uncle out of a job?
Billy Mills in the orchestra and Manhattan.
I say, kiddo, you got to steer clear of this rumor racket. A rumor is like an octopus that reaches out and grabs innocent victims with them slithery things it reaches out and grabs innocent victims with.
I suppose you mean its tentacles.
I guess that's the word. I was never sure whether an octopus had eight tentacles or ten eighticles.
Well, now you just work it out, lover. I think I'll go up to my room and lie down with a pillow on each side of my head.
What's the matter? Are you tired?
No. No, I feel fine, but my ears need a rest.
Oh.
And if I hear any rumors, I'll ignore them, dear.
Okay, Tootsie. Ah, there goes a good kid. Just weak is all. Lucky she's got me to guide her because... Come in.
Hi, mister.
Oh, hi, Tina.
Hi.
Come on in, sis. What's on your mind, if any?
Tootsie, have you seen my little dog, Margaret? Mister, have you seen him, Margaret,
No, no. Not today. Can't you find him?
No.
Oh.
He's been gone almost an hour, I bet you.
Oh.
And I've got to find him real soon because it's time for his bowling lesson.
Did you say his bowling lesson?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yes, he's been eating his food on the floor and I'm trying to teach him to eat out of a bowl.
Glad you cleared that up. And don't you worry, he'll come back home. He's a pretty smart dog, isn't he?
Oh, he's wonderful, my dear.
Yeah.
Just wonderful. He's got a blue ribbon at the cat show, mister.
He did, eh?
And he all... Who?
I says he did, eh?
Who did?
Margaret.
Did what?
Got a blue ribbon.
Where?
At the cat show.
I know it. And the darn got it off the biggest cat there.
That one needed clearing up, too. Started out like one of them rumors, sis, and you know what a rumor is.
Oh, sure.
Yeah?
Well, he, too, says a rumor at his house.
Oh?
His name is Mr. Schmetz, and he runs...
No. That's not the kind of rumor I mean, Jeannie. I was referring to the sort of rumor that gets spread around.
Sure, like Mr. Schmetz.
Hmm?
Well, he left a roller skate on the top step yesterday. Uh-huh. And Mr. Schmetz stepped on it, and oh, boy, was he ever spread around the front hall.
That's all very interesting.
Yeah.
But the kind of rumor I'm talking about, Jeannie...
Yeah.
The kind of rumor I'm talking about, though, is the sort of a story that people start, and it just grows and grows and grows.
Oh, boy, a story.
Yeah.
Tell me a story about rumors, will you, Mr. Moore? Please tell me, please.
All right, sis. I will. This story will show you what happens when somebody starts a rumor. Once upon a time...
I've heard it.
You heard this one. I ain't even made it up yet.
Okay.
All right. Once upon a time, this whole country was just jumping with little green elves. And the little green elves and the people like us all lived together. They had their little houses right next door to the people's big houses, and the people would invite the elves in for coffee and donuts, and the elves would invite the people in for mushrooms and dewdrops. Well, sir, everything was wonderful till one day a man was watching an elf walk by, and this little elf walked in front of a green bush. Like I told you, the elf was green, and when he walked in front of the green bush, the man couldn't see him anymore, and he rushed home and told his wife that an elf had disappeared right in front of his eyes.
Oh, boy.
So, the wife told a friend of hers, and she told a friend, and this friend told somebody else, till pretty soon, the rumor got around that elves were disappearing all over the place. Till finally, the rumor got so big that people said all the elves had disappeared and there weren't any more elves. And that's why elves are still around today, only nobody can see them anymore.
That's a cute story, mister. I like that.
I kind of liked it, too.
And you know something?
Hmm?
It's just a rumor that people can't see elves anymore, Victor.
Yeah?
I can see them all around here.
You can see elves right here in the room, huh?
Of course I can, mister. Hey, watch your feet, mister. Huh? Don't step on them.
Huh?
Now, listen, you little elf stay right here, and I'll come back and get you in just a little while. Watch your feet now. They're awful big. So long, mister.
Wonder if that kid really... Oh, no. That couldn't be. He's just pulling my...
Hey, was somebody here, dearie? I...
Hey, watch your step, Molly. Watch your step. Don't step on the...
What?
You have a nice rest, kiddo?
Oh, just wonderful. I lay down for nearly 3 minutes.
Good.
But I kept hearing voices down here, so I got up again.
Oh, Alvinie was just here. I was telling her about rumors.
I think I'll go lay down again.
No, sir, you stay right here, kiddo. Sit down and relax, like I was saying.
Hello, Molly. Hi, pal.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox.
Hi, Junior. Sit down.
Well, can't stay but a minute, pal. Got to get downtown.
Well, I wish you'd take himself here with you, Mr. Wilcox. He's in one of his superior moods today, and I've been getting a lecture.
Really? I didn't know you two ever disagreed on anything, pal.
Oh, it's not disagreement, Junior. I'm just explaining...
I'm surprised to hear there's any friction in this happy home.
Oh-ho!
Why, pal, I thought you were everything to Molly. Like that old popular song, I believe the title was, You're the Salt in My Stew.
No, Mr. Wilcox, you're the cream in my coffee.
Oh, Molly, now you're done.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Thank you very much, Molly. But the cream in your coffee should be Pet. Pet evaporated milk.
Now he's doing it with song titles. Next week with mirrors.
Because Pet milk gives your coffee that rich, creamy color, that fine, mellow flavor, that full-bodied taste that means real delight to a coffee lover.
Yeah, see, Molly come home from the beauty
That's
place.
Because Pet milk is double rich. Just good whole milk made double rich by evaporation.
Yeah, but Molly...
And when you use Pet milk in your coffee, you've got a real taste treat.
Yeah, but what that got to do with
yes,
the
Yes, sir? Yes, sir, as one of my favorite American poets once wrote, and I quote, like your coffee rich and mellow, use Pet milk.
That does it.
Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. Oldtimer.
Hello there, kids. Hi, daughter. Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Oldtimer.
Here, bring you a little present, kid.
Yeah?
A duck I killed with my own hands and a Daisy air rifle.
Well, that's darn nice of you. Where'd you shoot it? Dugan Lake?
Nope. Went to a couple of lakes that was named by the Indians.
Oh?
One of them is Lake Okarabrippi, and the other one is Lake Ibanabraco. Okarabrippi spelled backwards.
Well, why did they do that?
Well, the first lake was for young Indians. The second one was for Indians over 35.
Which lake did you shoot the duck on?
The first one. I ain't no Indian. Sure was exciting, Johnny. I hunted down a duck blind with my breech-loading Daisy air rifle, and pretty soon a duck came flying by.
A duck.
I took careful aim, blazed away, and the air was full of splinters.
Splinters?
I aimed a mic too low and hit my own decoy.
I thought you were a good shot, Oldtimer.
Trouble was, I wasn't loaded.
How'd you hit the decoy if there wasn't any shot in the gun?
Oh, the gun was loaded, but I wasn't.
Oh.
I shoot better when I had a couple of nips.
Oh, I see.
So I took a couple of nips of my homemade blackberry cordial, which is homemade out of potato peels and fusel oil, and then
if that's what it's made out of, why do you call it blackberry cordial?
Because if you drink too much of it, you turn black and they bury it. Cordial. So, a fortunate such has come along, and here it is.
Oh, well, thanks again. Okay, Molly, watch this, kiddo. Here goes the birth of a rumor.
I'm listening, dear.
Hey, old-timer, do you know Harry Jones?
Who, Johnny?
Harry Jones.
Oh, sure, know him well. What about him?
Well, get this. I was downtown today, and I saw him at the luggage store at 14th and Oak looking at the suitcases.
You did?
Yeah.
That's real interesting, Johnny. Can't say exactly why, but it's real interesting. Hey, I almost forgot.
Huh?
Here's the recipe for fixing that duck.
Oh?
Calls for one pot of boiling water,
yeah.
One duck chopped up, carrots, onions, and so on.
Oh, sounds good. Is it hard to make?
Ain't hard at all, Johnny. In fact, it's duck soup.
Nothing like a dame.
We got sunlight on the sand. We got moonlight on the sea. We got mangoes and bananas you can pick right off a tree.
We got volleyball and ping pong and a lot of fancy games.
What ain't we got?
We ain't got dame. We get packages from home. We get movies. We get shows.
We get speeches from our skipper and advice from Tokyo Rose.
We get letters doused with perfume. We get dizzy from the smell. What don't we get?
Oh, darn well.
We got nothing to put on a clean white suit for. We got nothing to look masculine and cute for.
There is nothing like a day. Nothing.
Like to feel a feeling of some arms around our neck.
We feel hungry as a wolf when he met Red Riding Hood.
What don't we feel?
We don't feel good. Lots of things in life are beautiful, but brother,
there is one particular thing not like any other.
There is nothing like a dame. Nothing. Nothing looks like a dame. There are no drinks like a dame. And nothing thinks like a dame. And nothing acts like a dame. Or attracts like a dame. There ain't a thing that's wrong with any man here. They can't be cured by putting him here. A girl is woman, is female, feminine.
Thank you.
Well, my dear, when the old-timer left here, you saw the birth of a rumor. That little thing I told him about seeing Harry Jones at the luggage store will get built up till everybody makes a big thing out of it.
Not you, though. You're too smart.
You betcha. You mark my words, Tootsie. By tomorrow, Madam Bertha will be telling you that Harry Jones is taking a trip around the world.
I hope you're right.
Why, I'll bet that this very minute... I'll bet this very minute the old-timer's telling somebody that Harry Jones has bought a suitcase.
Hey, Doc! Doc Gamble!
Hello there, old-timer. What's new?
Oh, nothing much, except for what I heard about Larry Jones. Know him?
Larry Jones? He's a patient of mine. He's the cashier at the Third National Bank.
Say, he is, ain't he? Hadn't thought of that. Well, anyhow, he's been down at the luggage store getting himself a couple of trunks.
Trunks, huh? Funny, he's already had his vacation.
Well, he sure needed some new luggage, Doc. You ever see that old bag he took with him?
I never discuss my patient's wives, old man. I wonder if he's planning to leave town. Mr. O'Malley, have you heard about Larry Jones, the cashier at the bank?
Yes, and I haven't heard a single word about the boy.
Well, they tell me he's getting ready to take a trip out of town.
Yes, and is that what he's after doing?
A bank cashier shouldn't do that.
Yes, and you're right.
It looks suspicious.
Hey. Oh, it's a terrible thing altogether, Mr. Wilcox. There's probably a bit of money missing from the bank.
You don't say so, Mr. O'Malley. Well, do you know how much is missing?
Oh, 5 or 10,000. Just a drop in the bucket.
Well.
Speaking of a drop in the bucket, I was on my way to get some beer. Good boy.
Hello, Mr. Wimple.
Hello, Hyrule.
Have you heard the news? They tell me there's a lot of money missing from the Third National Bank. $50,000 or $60,000.
My goodness. I almost opened an account there. I'm glad they turned me down.
They turned you down?
Yes. For more than a month, I saved half of the lunch money I got from Cheesy. But the bank refused it.
Why?
Well, we said 44 cents wasn't enough.
Well, what does she give you for lunch money?
2 cents a day.
2 cents? How does she expect you to live on that?
You know, I don't think she really cares.
Well, what did you do with the 44 cents you managed to save?
I blew it all on a banana split.
Wimple, you're amazing. You starved for more than a month to save 44 cents and then spend it on a banana split.
Well, easy come, easy go. How much did you say was missing from the bank?
Oh, $80,000 or $90,000, probably.
There's big news, Ole. Almost $1 million is missing from the bank.
Is that so, Vimble? Well, well.
Doesn't seem to bother you.
That should bother me. Me and the missus don't put our money in banks. We just shove it in the mattress.
In the mattress?
Sure, half in my twin bed and half in the missus' twin bed. That way we keep good balance, you see.
You keep all your money? You keep all your money in the mattress?
Oh, use the paper money. You know, at first I keep small change in the bed, too, but I stop. You see, the kids in the next room jump up too many times and ask if Santa Claus coming.
Santa Claus? Why?
Well, every time I turn over, jingle, jingle, jingle.
I'd be scared to keep my money that way.
Well, once the missus got scared, too. In the morning, she yelled out, "Ole, there's a strange man in my bed."
In the bed?
Yes, a dollar bill, you know, worked loose from the top of the mattress, and the missus wake up face to face with George Washington.
You're lucky not to have money in the bank. Imagine over $1 million missing.
Hey, McGee is here to play a game of pool. I think I told him all about it.
There.
looking all over for you. It's past supper time. Heavenly days, why are you digging up the backyard?
Just protecting our future, kiddo. The Third National Bank has gone busted.
What? Where'd you hear this?
I got the dope straight from Ole at the Elks Club and rushed right over and drew out all our life savings.
Yeah, but McGee, this may be just a rumor.
Rumor, my clavicle. You know me better than that. I don't fall for stuff some ignorant busybody starts. Out of my way. Stand back, kiddo. I want to bury this dough deep.
Fibber and Molly return in a moment. Men may be better at arithmetic than women, but when it comes to getting the most for their money, my hat is off to the women. Take an everyday food item like milk. No milk you can buy gives you more for your money than PET, evaporated milk. And women are smart enough to know it. That's why in grocery stores, you'll see women reaching for PET milk several cans at a time. And it isn't just the price, although PET does cost less generally than any other form of milk. It's what you get for that money. Sweet country milk concentrated to double richness. That's PET evaporated milk. So rich you can mix it with an equal amount of water and still have milk that's richer than the usual bottled kind. So rich you can use this milk instead of cream for coffee. How's your supply of PET milk? If you're down to that last can, better pick up some at your grocer's tomorrow.
Last night, dearie, right after you got to sleep.
Yeah?
You know what?
Hmm?
She heard a rumor that prowlers had been seen in the neighborhood and thought she ought to warn us.
Prowlers? Oh, my gosh. And our dough out there in the backyard.
Don't you worry now.
Huh?
I told her very proudly that my husband does not believe in rumors.
Hey, yeah, but... Well, now, let's not overdo this thing, kiddo. You know that...
Then I went out and dug it up.
Oh.
Come on, get your hat. This money goes back to the bank.
Oh, okay. Good night.
Good night, all.
First evaporated milk, PET milk, brings you Fibber, McGee, and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you? Sometimes, suddenly and unexpectedly, something happens that could change all your dreams and plans for the future. And it's this sort of frightening prospect that faces young wife Sally Carter in the dramatic story of the week on PET Milk's Mary Lee Taylor program next Saturday morning. The second big feature is Mary Lee Taylor's recipe of the week for a delicious PET milk dessert that's easy to make and economical, too. Chocolate nut pie. For the story of the week and the recipe of the week, tune in sure next Saturday morning for PET Milk's Mary Lee Taylor, a Saturday morning favorite on NBC.
It's Playhouse on Broadway, starring Linda Darnell on NBC.